Alrighty, we're so glad you're here this evening. We have a real special treat. As you can tell, we have the Southland Ministry team here that's working out of Southland Camp. And I know they're going to introduce themselves to you in just a moment. There's some music in the back and just some resources. So it's good for them to be able to be here and introduce you to those things. But you have really in store some Christ-honoring music this evening. And I know that the Lord is going to be pleased. So we're going to begin this with a word of prayer. I'm going to turn over to the team, and we'll begin. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you that we can all be here together on this Wednesday evening. And Lord, that we can be thrilled with the truth of your word. And Father, we thank you for music that you've given and you've made so that it might penetrate into our hearts and reach into our consciousness. So, Lord, I pray that we might lift up our voices with one accord unto you. And, Father, may we say a hearty amen to all that is true that we hear this evening. And, Father, may we go forth from this place strengthened in the name of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to take your hymnals this evening and turn to 22. Hymn 22, O Magnify the Lord with Me. We have so much to praise the Lord for and to magnify Him for. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 22, O Magnify the Lord.
O magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name. Sing praises to His majesty and all His works proclaim. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name. We celebrate the Father's gift. Oh, let the anthem ring. With grateful heart we welcome Him, our prophet, priest, and king. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name. We come before the Father's throne and there our Savior greet. We shout Hosanna to the King in worship at His feet. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless His holy name.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord. Will you pray with all your power while we preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then Him holds home to heaven at His table sit down. Christ will gird Himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Come and worship.
Come adore Him. Come and worship the Lord.
And that is the invitation to all of us to come and worship, to come and adore the Lord tonight as we sing and hear music and sing together and are reminded of scriptural truths to, in our hearts, worship and praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done. And we feel very privileged to be right here with you folks tonight, and we're so thankful for the opportunity and Pastor the invitation to be here. We hope that the music will be an encouragement to you. We are from way down south in Louisiana, Southland Christian Camp Ministries, and as the night goes on, we'll tell you a little bit more about our camp ministry down in Louisiana and how God is using that ministry there to reach literally thousands of young people every single year in the southern part of the United States. But before we go on with the music and testimonies, et cetera, we want to introduce ourselves so you know our names and then where we're from. And so we'll start over here on this side and kind of work our way across the stage.
My name is Josh Gillespie, and I am from the state of Illinois.
Well, good evening. My name is Micah Gillespie. This is my wife, Emily. We grew up in the state of Ohio together, right outside of Dayton, met in the nursery, and the rest is history.
Good evening, I'm Michael McIntyre, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
And then my name is Micah Herbster, and this is my wife, Emily, over here to my left. And we've been married for about 2 years. Emily is originally from South Carolina. She grew up in Maryland, and now her family is in Wisconsin. I was born in the great state of Kansas, in Overland Park, Kansas, and grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. And then my family now lives down in Louisiana. And so if you were listening closely and carefully, you heard it right. There's four names for six people. You've got Josh and Michael. They're the hardest ones to remember, okay? And then there's Micah and Emily and another Micah and another Emily. But all that we ask is that you please help us by keeping the right Micah with the right Emily tonight. That's very important to us, okay? We travel full-time about 30 weeks out of the year doing music and preaching and revival meetings and youth rallies, et cetera, all over the United States of America. And we really count it a privilege to be here in Fort Scott, Kansas tonight and excited to share messages in song with you. I so appreciate what Pastor said introducing the service tonight, how this can really be an opportunity for all of us to have the Word of Christ dwell in us richly through hymns and spiritual songs. And so I hope that you'll really engage your hearts with what we're singing. You'll listen closely to the words and worship in your own heart to the Lord for all that He has done for us. I want to encourage you as we play our instruments now to take out the hymnal that's in front of you, please, and turn to hymn number 2. It's the second hymn in this Majesty hymnal. How many of you play an instrument? Anybody at all like that? Oh, wow. Okay, you are a very musical church. That's amazing. We love our instruments, and we're going to play our brass instruments. There's a trombone, euphonium, and a trumpet up here. And we're going to play this old hymn text that invites all of us to come and to do something to the Lord, and that is to sing. And I love what the author says in the third verse of this hymn text, that life will not end the strain. That is, life, this song that we're singing is not bound by life. This is a song, this is a praise medley. And we're going to sing forever and ever and ever around the throne. Worthy is the Lamb, right? We're going to sing in heaven someday. And so as Christians, it's our opportunity now to praise the Lord through music. And it's something that we'll do forever and ever. I hope you'll follow along with the words as we play hymn 2, Come Christians, Join to Sing. Thank you.
The scripture passage I'm about to read goes really well with the next song as it meditates on Christ being the Son from God, born to us, and our ruler forever. It says in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." How comforting it is for me as I've been meditating on this to think about Christ and his rule that will reign forever. Even Isaiah said that the government he will be the everlasting Father and the government will be upon his shoulder. And whether or not we like the government now on earth, we know that our God in heaven reigns forever. And kings come and kings go, but Emmanuel, God with us, will reign forever.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
rivers, God rivers, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God rivers, God rivers, Emmanuel.
Well, isn't it wonderful to know that God is with us because Christ came? And if we accept him as our Savior, if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we can dwell in fellowship with God, both in this life and for all of eternity. The hymn writer Fanny Crosby described this as a blessed assurance, the fact that Jesus is mine. And in the chorus of this song, Blessed Assurance, Fanny Crosby said, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." I don't know about you, but oftentimes whether or not I'm praising my Savior depends on which side of the bed I woke up on. But we as Christians, we have every reason to be joyful, to be full of hope, not because of an election, not because of what the stock market's doing, not because of the weather, but because of Christ. Because we have Christ, we can have joy and we can have peace. And it truly is a blessed assurance to know that Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture burst on my sight, angels descending bring from above, echoes of mercy and whispers of love. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting and looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance.
And if you're thankful for that blessed assurance tonight, would you say amen? In a world where there's a lot of unknowns, right? A lot of things that we can't be certain about. Here's what we can know, that we know him that we belong to him and that he belongs to us. And there is that personal relationship with our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that that'll warm your hearts tonight and stir you to praise the Lord for what he's done in your life. Well, right here at the middle of our service, I want to take an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about Southland Christian Camp. We're located down in Ringgold, Louisiana, and we began in 1993 with the simple mission of investing in another generation and helping them to take the next step in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our theme as a camp ministry comes from what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Our prayer, our desire, our purpose is to help every young person and every adult that comes to our camp property to simply take the next step in their knowing the Lord, whether that's salvation, step in sanctification, daily Bible reading, surrender to faithful service. We are invested in helping those young people to know the Lord more. And we primarily are a youth camp ministry. And so during the summer, we run 10 weeks of summer youth camp. We do 4 weeks of junior camp, which would be those going into the third grade through the seventh graders. And then we do 7 weeks of teen camp, which would be seventh graders through graduated seniors. And we also do a family camp every summer. We do a music camp, and we do a light camp. So there's lots going on during our summer months of ministry. And each summer, just to give you an idea of the scale, we welcome about 2,500 young people and family campers to the camp property, about 300 campers a week each summer. And really thankful for what God is allowing us to do down there at the camp ministry. But Southland is not just for young people. And that's the really good news for you tonight, because you say, Mike, I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm not a junior camper anymore. But that's okay. You can still come to Southland because during the fall and the spring, we do men's retreats, ladies' retreats, couples events. We do a worship conference every other year, a music conference every other year. And then we also do a pastor youth workers conference every single year. And so there's lots of opportunities to come to Southland, take a look at what God is doing there, and to come and get away from the world, set aside some of the distractions, bring your family, bring your spouse, and come down to Louisiana. We're not far from you. Although we're a little farther than some places that we serve, I think it's like 9 hours, maybe 9.5 hours down to Ringgold. It's real close to Shreveport. How many of you have been to Louisiana before? I know I talked to some folks down here who've been to Louisiana. Good. All right. I always tell people you never go to Louisiana by accident. So here's a great reason to come to Southland and experience Louisiana with Southland Christian Ministries. The very best way to get acquainted with our ministry is to visit us on our website, www.southlandcamp.org, or like us on Facebook and Instagram as well. And I really want to encourage you to pick up one of our brochures in the back that'll tell you a little bit more about all the activities and the events that are taking place there at the camp. Speaking of the table, I wanted to highlight just a few things that we have available for you back there. As we travel, we like to carry some resources that can hopefully be an encouragement to you as believers, both devotional materials and music resources as well. And a couple of recordings that we have back there, our newest recording out of the Christian camp is one entitled Let God Be True. And so the song we sang just a moment ago, Emmanuel, God with Us, is on this fully orchestrated recording with a full 13-voice choir. And really want to encourage you to pick up one of those tonight. It'd be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart. And then Christmas, believe it or not, is right around the corner, isn't it? We have one Christmas CD back there. It's a piano solo recording called Star of Wonder. My mom did this recording, and it's beautiful hymn arrangements, hymns that you'll know well, carols that you'll know well. And if you're anything like me, you like to play music like this all year round, not just at Christmas, okay? So if you're one of those, it's too early for Christmas music, well, pick up one of these, and then you can start playing it after Thanksgiving, okay? So Star of Wonder, encourage you to check out that CD. And we have a couple choral recordings back there, a couple piano recordings, a brass CD if you enjoy brass music. And the CDs are one for $12, two or more for $10 a piece. So the more you get, the better deal you get on the CDs. And then back there, we also have several books that we just want to make available to you. This one is by Pastor Paul Chappell, a 365-day devotional entitled Disciple, Daily Truths from the Gospel of Luke for the Followers of Jesus. Really kind of a unique book, but every page in this book is set for one day out of the year. So there's 365 one-page devotionals that you can follow along with your Bible reading through the Gospel of Luke. And I've really enjoyed materials like this, kind of just, you know, you read your Bible, especially when you're in the Old Testament. Sometimes this is what really sticks with me, a short devotional like this and a text that a preacher speaks on or comments on. And so hopefully that could be an encouragement to you. That's $20 back there on the table. Book back there that we have on music, one on technology, one on being a a man, one on being a woman, as God designed and intended. And so I hope that you'll check out those books on your way out. And then did want to mention, too, our prayer card. We travel 30 weeks out of the year, so I really would encourage you to pick up one of these. And if you say, Micah, I'm probably never coming to Louisiana, I'm sorry, okay? Pick up one of our brochures and pray for us at Southland as God continues to work through the ministry and that he'll open up doors of opportunity for us. You know, we just so covet those prayers. And we're excited for the fellowship after the service as well. You know, please let us know if you have any questions about Southland, about the CDs, about the music on the table, about the books. We would love to answer those questions. We can take all the major payment forms like card, check, cash, Apple Pay. And so whatever is easiest for you, we want to make those available to you. And hopefully they can be an encouragement as you continue on in your relationship with the Lord. Okay, Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Are those the annual, are those Indiana worship conferences that we're talking about? Yes, okay, yeah. So I mentioned that I was, as I understand Southland, you know, it's more than just a camp. There's a real whole ministry and a force in which they're trying to impact the church for good and for the edification of the believer. And so I really appreciate them, and you're kind of getting a sense for that. All this music that you're hearing is really is in-house, right, if I understand that correctly, and the stuff that they're producing. And so it's a really encouraging. Man, the music already has touched our hearts, and to take some old hymn tunes and just to remind us of these great truths of who Christ is and the relationship that we have. Begin sitting there thinking, man, that lady, that blind Fanny Crosby, she seemed to think that if you weren't praising God, something wasn't right. You couldn't have a blessed assurance all the time. And I thought, you know what? I look back through my day today and I say, you know, I was praising the Lord today. And then there were some times where I wasn't praising the Lord. I thought, what's that? Yeah, no, that there was something wrong there, wasn't there? And so the Lord really does want to get us to that place where we are living a life of fellowship with him that overflows in joy. And so praise the Lord for this word to us. Well, this team is supported by the generous gifts of those that can help them. And so we'd like to take up an offering for them. And we're so thankful for their ministry. And the Bible says that labor is worthy of their hire. And so we are very happy to be able to contribute to them and lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven in this very moment. So we're going to have a word of prayer for offering, and then men will come and to take the offering. Brother Kenny Blake, would you mind praying for offering?
Thank you.
Take your hymnals once again and turn to hymn number 6. Hymn number 6. We're going to continue on this theme of giving praise to our God by singing hymn number 6, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing this. We'll sing all 3 stanzas tonight.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Thank you. You may be seated.
The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted odds. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear him say.
And when my fears are turned to prayers,
burdens are lifted away. Lifted away. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true, the mighty arms upholding me will bear my burden soon. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Jesus has lifted my load.
One of my favorite lines in that song is the second verse, and it says, the passing days bring many cares. Fear not, I hear him say. I'm so thankful that we serve a God who is God over all. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet he's also my friend. And he calls me his friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he knows all about me. He knows my downsittings and my uprisings, as Psalm 139 tells us. He knows even my thoughts afar off. yet he cares about me, even though I'm flawed and I'm undeserving of that. He is a friend like no other. And I'm reminded of a whole old hymn text called No, Not One. And it talks about how there isn't any friend like Jesus.
Not a friend like the lowly Jesus. None else could hear all my soul's disease. There's no friend like him who's so high and holy.
If you would, turn in your hymnals to page 38. This is one of my all-time favorite hymns, and I think it's because, as a self-imposed music nerd, I analyze way too much stuff when I'm reading it as a musician. But this is one of those hymns that I really think the melody and the lyrics are paired together so beautifully. Because unfortunately, too many times in our hymnody, there are moments, many of them, where I don't feel like the words and the music really go together. This hymn is not one of those, I think. And I love this hymn because it talks about exactly who our God is. The lady just finished singing about how God is a friend to us. He humbled himself, died for us. He's with us every single day of our lives. And that same God who knows us on a personal, intimate level is the same God of the universe, the very God who holds the palm of this world in the palm of his hand. That's the friend that we have with us every day. And while he's an incredibly caring, loving, personal God, he's a great God. And the reality is, as Christians, we are never fully going to understand how great our God is until we finally see him and he's heard it. But in earth, here on earth, everything that we do in our lives should be pointing back to glorify the Lord. And reality is, when we're out and about in nature or just about and about doing life, the very stuff around us can remind us of how great our God is. So I would encourage you tonight, are you living a life that's bringing glory to the Lord? Do you really see God's greatness in every detail of your life? Are you trusting that that great God that we should praise every day is the same God who walks with you day by day on that personal, intimate level? So I want you to think about these things, and in your own very soul, sing praise back to God for how great he is to us. Thank you.
our God truly is a great God. And with that greatness, he has given us many gifts that we don't deserve. From the beauty of creation to around us, to eternal life. The gift of sending his son to die on the cross for us, so that we don't have to spend an eternity in torment, but that we can spend an eternity with him. It should be our desire, because of this salvation that he has given us, to live our lives for him. He has given his son for us. The least we can do in return is give ourselves. And it is because of that gift that it should be our prayer and our desire, a commitment every day that we make to the Lord, that because Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus made it all to my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it on stain. He washed it white as Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe, all to him I owe.
And praise the Lord tonight for the priceless gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the old rugged cross. You remember what Jesus cried in his final moments on the cross? It is finished. Tetelestai, the work is done. It's complete. nothing we have to do in and of ourselves to be saved. Jesus already paid the price for us. He took the wrath of God. He bore the punishment that you and I deserve. He paid the price. And because Jesus paid it all to him we owe. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constrains us, compels us to serve him, to love him, to know him, and to make him known. And I trust that that is your heartbeat tonight as you rejoice in the salvation that the Lord has given to you. Would you take your Bibles with me for an abbreviated time tonight and turn to the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter 7, for just a few minutes tonight. As we rejoice in God's goodness, it reminds me of what Micah does in the very end of his prophetic book to the nation of Israel. Just to set the scene for you before we look at these verses, Israel is in a world of hurt. Micah comes to them as they've gone after other gods, bowed the knee to idols, gone after the world, loved the things of this life more than the things of eternity, more than their relationship with God. Micah comes to them and he says, listen, the Lord is going to judge you for what you have done. And all throughout this prophetic book, he looks forward to when this people will be led off into captivity. Not really a popular message in the nation of Israel, as it wouldn't be a popular message in today's world either. But interspersed through Micah's prophetic book are glimmers of hope, glimmers of mercy. Like that old text in Micah chapter 5 that says that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, he's coming. Even though Bethlehem is small, it doesn't seem like there's much significance there. Out of that town is going to come the Savior of the world. And he did, in fact, come many years later. But at the end of Micah's book, he really gives some Hebrew poetry in praise and exaltation for a particular characteristic of God that I want us to think about as we look into God's Word tonight. Notice what the Bible says in Micah 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Now pause there for just a moment and think about that question with me this evening. Who is a God like our God? Is there any other God in this world that claims to be good and great? Yes, there are. But is there truly any God like our God? It's a fantastic question that should stir us in our thinking tonight. Is there any God like our God? We know from other places in Scripture who ask this very same question, where they answer with a resounding no. There is no God like our God. And I want to say to all of us tonight, from young to old and all the way in between, there is no God like the God of the Bible. There is no God like our God. He's drawing on this comparison terminology here. Who is like our God? Have you ever in your life compared two things, and maybe you've used this phrase, well, listen, there is no comparison. Recently, I was talking with a friend about the mountains in the United States and around the world. And if you're familiar with the mountains, which I know many of you are, you have these mountains out in the east coast, eastern portion of the United States called the Smoky Mountains. And then out in the west, you have the Colorado Rockies, right? And if you ever talk to anybody from the Colorado Rockies out west, they look at those hills in the eastern portion of the United States called the Smoky Mountains, and they say what? There is no comparison. Because if you've ever seen the Rockies, you know those are majestic. They are powerful. They are great. They are tall. And it really dwarfs the mountains on the east coast of the United States, doesn't it? There's no comparison. Then you talk to people from the Canadian Rockies up north, and they look at the Rocky Mountains, and they say, well, listen, you guys think you have mountains. But we have the real beauty in North America with these Canadian Rockies. There's no comparison. And then you go around the world to places like the Alps, and those people look at our little hills here in the United States, and they think, there is no comparison. And then you have, of course, the mightiest, the tallest of them all, Mount Everest, which dwarfs every other mountain in the entire world. And when you put up Mount Everest next to any other mountain, when it comes to height and magnitude, you say together, there is no comparison. Folks, there is no God like our God. He stands above them all. He is powerful. He is magnificent. Now, may I ask you a question tonight? Why is God set apart as the greatest God of all little g gods in this world? You might say tonight, well, it's because he's the only true God. And that is absolutely correct. The Bible teaches, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There's only one. You're not God. I'm not God. There's no other God in this world. Jehovah, Yahweh, God. He alone is God. You might say tonight, well, Micah, he is creator God. And we've sung about that and we've rejoiced in the truth that he, God, is creator of all. Think about that, the power that he exhibited with his spoken word to say, let there be light, and boom, out of nothing there is light. There's no God like our God. Think of his sustaining his creation. How many of you are breathing tonight? Can I see if you raise your hands? Good. If you're not breathing, you can step to the back. We'll call an ambulance. That's really important, right? He sustains us. We have food on our tables. We have shelter. We have clothing. We are truly blessed. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from our pocketbooks. No, from our God. He is sustainer. But I think it's really interesting what Micah does in Micah 7, verses 18 and 19, where he gives to us the distinguishing mark of the greatness of God. Notice what he says, "Who is a God like unto thee?" in verse 18. And then notice this, "that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever." And notice this, here is who our God is, "because he delighteth in mercy." Here is what our God is willing and able to do, to give pardon, to give forgiveness of sins. It is this distinguishing mark that sets our God apart from all other gods that people offer us in this world. He is a God that forgives. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to do what? To forgive us of our sins. To declare us righteous. The Apostle Paul is going to say in the book of Romans, to justify us, to pardon us. This is legal terminology, even here in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, to describe what God is willing to do. He is willing to forgive. Truly, there is no God like our God. But then continue on in verse 19 and notice what Micah praises the Lord for here. He will turn again, he says. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Really, if verse 18 is the cause, here is who our God is. Here's his character. Here's the consequence of that. Here's what God is able to do when he takes our sins, when he forgives us our sins. He is able to do three particular things. First of all, he is able to, with our sins, show, and I love this, show compassion. He says in verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Think of the sin that these people had committed, violating multiple commandments from the Ten Commandments that we know that Moses received from Mount Sinai. Wicked, wicked people, not deserving of this forgiveness, not deserving of this mercy. And by the way, all of us are in the very same boat as these Israelites. Not deserving of God's mercy, not deserving of God's forgiveness. We deserve justly God's wrath and God's justice. Praise God for verse 19. That God will have compassion. He's a God of compassion. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 38. But he, that is God, being, here it is, full of compassion. He forgave the people, the wandering Israelites, of their iniquity. Our God is compassionate. There is no God like our God. Notice then in verse 19, not only is God compassionate, but God is able to conquer. He says in verse 19, he will have compassion upon us and he will subdue our iniquities. This word to subdue literally means to overcome, to enslave, to conquer or control. That's what God is able to do with your sin and with my sin, to conquer it, to enslave it, to bring us out from underneath the power of sin. what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 14, that sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. That is our God and his ability to redeem us through the Lord Jesus Christ, to conquer sin, to not allow sin to reign and rule in our body. Let me tell you something right now, folks. That power is not in me and it's not in you. That is a power that comes from the good and mighty hand of God, because our God is able to conquer. He's a God of compassion. He is able to conquer. And notice finally in verse 19 what he does with sin, with the sin of his people. He says, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." I love what one writer said about this text. He says, "As God began Israel on her journey by hurling the Egyptians into the Red Sea, so he will restore them on their pilgrimage and hurl all of their iniquities into the metaphorical depths." That's what God is able to do with your sin and with my sin, to cast them into the depths of the sea. This is very similar to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. "I, even I, am he," this is God speaking, "that blotteth out the transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin." There is a total removal of sin with our God. And then in Psalm 103 and verse 12, the psalmist reflects there, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Think of that. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Infinitely far. If you were to head west and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and head east and drive. Infinitely far. You could go forever. That's how far God has removed these sins from his people. He's cast their sins into the depth of the sea. Question for us tonight: does this happen to everybody just because they are living and breathing? You see, later on in the New Testament, the Bible is going to say that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus Christ, should not perish, which is what we deserve, but have everlasting life. You see, when Jesus died on that old rugged cross, when he wore the crown of thorns, when he laid out his hands on that cross, and as they were nailed to that old wooden tree, Jesus was doing there for you what you could never do for yourself. He was paying the price. He was making available to you and to me this removal of sin. This is why John the Baptist looked at Jesus when he began walking toward him in the baptismal waters and says, "Behold the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world." Jesus came to do exactly what Micah praises his God for doing in Micah chapter 7. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to remove the stain that we sung about, and Jesus paid it all just a moment ago. Jesus came. He died for you because he loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He died for you. He is able to save you. Neither is there salvation in any other, the Bible says, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to have this removal of sin, to have this forgiveness of sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 that God hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. What happens when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is an exchange that takes place. When you do what the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, when you are saved, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, there is an exchange that takes place. Your righteousness for his righteousness. Here's the problem with your righteousness. Your righteousness isn't all that righteous. The Bible describes your righteousness, my good works, your good works as filthy rags. Filthy rags. We're not saved by our righteousness. Our righteousness is no good. But at the cross, the exchange is made. Our righteousness, filthy rags, for the righteousness of Christ, perfect, spotless, Son of God. when God looks at the person who is has their faith in Jesus Christ, he doesn't see their righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Folks, that is what the Bible calls a good gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here tonight and you have never experienced this forgiveness that Micah praises the Lord for, this removal of sins that Micah pauses and says, there's no God like our God because he forgives and he separates our sin from us. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. If you've not experienced that, trusted in that finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary in your life personally tonight, here's the invitation to you. Come to Jesus. Come and drink from the living water. Place your faith and trust in him. And when you do, this is what you get. The righteousness of Christ. The removal of sins. And oh, Christian, could I encourage you tonight? Many of us know the Lord. Many of us are saved. Many of us saved for many years. Some of you, twice as long as I've been alive. Pretty crazy. It's awesome. But isn't it true that even in our Christian lives, this loses weight, doesn't it? Often we lose the joy and the praise that this ought to bring in our life because we're consumed with all sorts of other problems. Not enough money in the bank. We want a better job. We need better grades. Something else is not going our way. Christian tonight, this is who you are in Christ. Forgiven. Set free, removed from the bondage, the slavery of sin. Who is a God like unto thee, Micah asks. There is no God like our God, because he forgives. He is able to remove our sins, to set us free. May we rejoice in that God tonight, and really be stirred in our affections for him, to love him more, to give all back to him for all that he's given to us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Thank you so much for your good attention. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who would be honest enough to say, Micah, I don't know the Lord. I have never had this forgiveness of sins. My relationship with God is not what it should be because I'm trusting my own righteousness for favor with God. Maybe I'm trusting my baptism or my good works or some prayer that I prayed. And Micah, tonight, I'm not sure about my salvation. Is there anybody at all that would be honest enough to just raise your hand quietly tonight and say, Micah, I am not sure that I know the Lord tonight. Anybody like that? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. I just want to pray for you tonight. Would you just quietly slip your hand into the air? I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? Micah, I'm not sure that I am saved, that I know the Lord. I don't see any hands tonight. That doesn't mean that there can't be somebody in here that doesn't know the Lord as their personal Savior. And I just want to encourage you that just because you leave this service tonight doesn't mean that this gift is not available to you. It's not a gift that just comes in the church house. It's a gift that God has made available to all men. Call upon the name of the Lord. Look into the Word of God and find that wonderful gift through faith. But Christian, if you respond in just a moment to these verses, would you really resolve in your heart to meditate on these things? Think of the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. Think of the cross. Think of what it took to pay the penalty for your sin. And do what that song instructs us to do, to rejoice, to give thanks, to give it all back to the Lord as a gift, a living sacrifice for what he has done for you. I'll have a word of prayer, and after we pray, we'll stand to our feet, and Micah will play a hymn of invitation, and we'll respond to this text tonight. Lord, thank you so much for these verses. Thank you for what it means for us as believers. We're forgiven. We're set free. You've cast our sins into the depths of the sea. You've forgotten them. You've blotted them out. We rejoice in that tonight. Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they've never been redeemed. They've never been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that tonight they would know you, that they would come to you. they would place their faith and trust in the finished work of your Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross for their salvation. Speak to our hearts tonight. May we respond with commitment, resolve to give everything back as believers to you, because you paid it all. Everything, all to you we owe. May that be our response tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you just quietly stand to your feet? Quietly stand to your feet. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity to slip to the back, come to the front. We'll take a Bible.